put your headphones on, and turn the lights down low. Let the noise of the day fade out and the darkness settle in. This is a story about Traverse City, but not the city you know. Not the postcard beaches, not the summer crowds, not the bright marina lights dancing on the bay. When the sun goes down, the streets grow quieter, the woods grow deeper, the air feels heavier. Because when the light disappears, the shadows stretch. And in those shadows, secrets hide. This story may not be what you think. Back when Traverse City Central was the only high school around, everyone knew the shortcut. The narrow dirt path cut across a stretch of college-owned land, a sagging patch of woods pressed between campus and town. It wasn't on any official map. The students called it the smoke hole. The ground there was permanently trampled, and cigarette filters pressed into the mud like fossils. The trees leaned inward as if conspiring, their branches clawed and twisted, blocking most of the sun even at midday. It was where you cut through. It was where you skipped. It was where you learned things you didn't want to tell your parents. And sometimes, it was where you met Stan. Mid-50s maybe, though he looked older. Long gray beard, army jacket, fingerless gloves even in the summer. He slept against the same broad maple tree near the back of the clearing. The kids had figured out early on that if you treated him decent, shared a smoke, didn't mess with his stuff, he'd make a beer run now and then. Not for free. Nothing was free. But he liked the company. They all knew him. So when a group of young teens entered the smoke hole just after sunrise, they were grinning. "Bet Stan's already passed out," one of them said, exhaling a cloud into the cold October air. "Good," said another. "He owes us for spotting him last week." The clearing was quiet. Too quiet. No lighter flicks. No coughs. Stan was there, though. He was exactly where he always was, slumped against the maple, legs stretched out in front of him, head down, chin to chest. "Dude's out cold," a girl muttered. They stepped off the worn path, leaves crunching louder than usual. The morning fog clung to the ground in thin sheets, brushing their shoes. "Stan!" they called. "Rise and shine, man." No movement. They were close enough now to see something dark on his jacket. "He probably pissed himself again." The oldest boy forced a laugh and reached down, grabbing Stan's shoulder. It was colder than it should have been. "Hey," he said, shaking him lightly. Stan's head lolled sideways, and that's when they saw it. There was a deep cut across his throat. Not clean like in the movies, not surgical. Ragged, torn. The skin pulled apart in a dark clotted seam that had soaked through his beard and stiffened it into sharp, rust-colored spikes. His collar was glued to his neck with dried blood. More of it had run down his chest, pooling in the folds of his jacket, before dripping into the dirt beneath him. The smell hit next. Metallic. Rotten. The girl staggered back first, choking on a scream that didn't quite make it out. The rest just stared. Stan's eyes were half open. Not wide in shock, not peaceful. Just empty. Something had ripped him open and left him there like trash. The oldest boy stumbled backward, his shoes sliding in something wet that hadn't fully dried in the shade. He looked down and saw the leaves beneath Stan weren't brown from autumn. They were matted dark, glued together by something thick and blackened. There were drag marks, too. Long grooves in the dirt leading deeper into the trees, like something heavy had been pulled, or something heavy had walked away. And then one said it. "Look at his hands!" Stan's fingers were broken backward, jagged and swollen. The nails were split and packed with bark and dirt, like he'd clawed at the tree behind him. Like he'd tried to climb it. A crow shrieked overhead. The three of them flinched. Because suddenly the smoke hole didn't feel like their territory anymore. The trees stood too still. The fog shifted against the wind. The oldest boy took a shaky breath. "We need to call someone." But they weren't listening. They were staring at the ground beyond Stan, at footprints, not boot prints, not sneaker prints, something larger, longer, deep impressions pressed into the damp earth, and they didn't lead toward town. They led into the deeper woods.
The air in the funeral parlor was thick with the scent of lilies and polished wood. A young woman sat stiffly in the velvet chair near the casket, hands folded tightly in her lap, staring down at the man who had been her world. He was gone. The room was silent. Too silent. Outside, the gray winter sky pressed against the tall windows, letting in only the pale light of the late afternoon. She could hear her own shallow breathing, the faint drip of condensation from the old radiator, the ticking of the wall clock. How could this happen? They were too young, too full of life. He should have been there to laugh at some stupid joke or to warm her hand when the wind cut too sharp through winter night. She caught herself staring blankly at his face, remembering when life made sense. A strange and sudden feeling raised the hair on the back of her neck, and her chest tightened. As she leaned closer to the casket,
Daniel's eyes shot open, glowing red. Hannah gasped, recoiling, her heart hammering so loud she was certain that she was going to have a heart attack. But when she blinked, nothing. Just the pale, still face of her husband.
"I must have dozed off," she whispered, clutching her chest. And then came the whistle of the teapot from the small kitchen off to the side of the parlor. The sound pulled her from the nightmare-like vision, grounding her in the cold, quiet reality of her situation. Mourners will be arriving soon.
A door creaked, and footsteps echoed across the polished floor. The murmur of voices followed, polite and sorrowful. People she recognized, and some she didn't, entered the parlor one by one. Mr. Whitaker from the bakery nodded solemnly as he approached her, his hands wrapped in a wool scarf. "Hannah," he said softly, and she realized with a jolt that she hadn't even acknowledged him. Her name, spoken aloud, seemed to confirm her presence in a world that felt tenuous and unreal.
Hannah gave small, polite nods, murmuring thanks as each visitor approached. She felt like she was moving through fog, the room distant, unreal. But behind her eyelids, she could still see that red glow. It flickered at the edges of her vision, impossible and lingering. She forced herself to focus on the small details. The worn pattern of the carpet. The faint smell of coffee and wax. The way the winter light angled through the curtains just right to make the polished wood gleam.
And somewhere in the corner of her mind, a voice whispered. Low and hungry. A voice she couldn't place. Couldn't even tell if it was real. She didn't know it yet, but the full moon had already begun to pull at the edges of her world.
Hannah stepped out of the funeral parlor and into the gray chill of the late afternoon. The grass crunched under her heels as she made her way toward the cemetery, carrying a single red rose. The wind cut through her coat, sharp and cold, but it barely registered. All she could think of was him. The hollow space where his presence had been, At the gravesite, she knelt, careful not to disturb the frost-hardened earth. The mourners had already begun to gather around the grave, their voices low and retreating. After the last words, Hannah extended her hand, letting the rose slip from her fingers onto the casket as it was lowered. A soft thud echoed in the quiet, and her eyes blurred with tears. She whispered a single word she couldn't bear to say aloud in front of anyone else. Turning from the grave, she began the slow walk back toward the main road. A few townspeople lingered, nodding politely or offering quiet condolences. Mrs. Callahan pressed a hand to Hannah's shoulder. "You're strong, Hannah," she said softly, but Hannah could only manage a shaky nod, her throat too tight for words. Mr. Whitaker tipped his hat, but didn't speak. Sensing the fragile shell of a woman before him, Hannah wanted to tell them she was fine. She wanted to explain that nothing could possibly fix this day, that nothing could make it right. But the words lodged in her chest. She kept walking. The town streets felt emptier than usual, the snow muted sounds of traffic and wind pressing in on her, keeping her company in a strange, hollow way. When she finally reached her house on 6th Street, the familiar brick facade offered little comfort. She fumbled with her keys, her hands trembling, and stepped inside. The warmth hit her all at once, but it did nothing to chase away the cold pressing at her bones. She sank onto the couch, coat still on, and let her head fall into her hands. In front of her, laid on the coffee table, was the newspaper. The bold black headline caught her eye immediately, and for a moment, she felt her breath hitch. The world seemed to pause, waiting for her to read the words that might make sense of the senseless.
Traverse City, Michigan. Tragedy struck the west side of Traverse City late Friday night, when 32-year-old Paul Harper, a lifelong resident of the area, lost his life in a single car accident on Lakeview Drive. Police reports indicate that Harper was driving home from a social gathering around 11:45 p.m. when his vehicle skidded on an icy patch near the intersection of Lakeview and M-22. The car left the roadway, striking a tree before coming to rest in a snowbank. Emergency personnel arrived shortly after being notified by a passing motorist, but Harper was pronounced dead at the scene. Authorities confirmed that Harper was not wearing a seatbelt at the time of the accident. Toxicology reports revealed a blood alcohol content above the legal limit. No other vehicles were involved, and police do not suspect foul play. Harper, who owned a large construction company in town, was described by friends and neighbors as kind, dependable, and always ready to lend a helping hand. He is survived by his wife, Hannah Harper, who was reportedly at home when the accident occurred. Police are reminding motorists to exercise caution on icy roads during the winter months. Hannah poured wine to the top of a tall glass, trembling slightly in her hand as she carried it to the couch. The newspaper still spread open on the coffee table. She didn't read it again. She couldn't. She stared past it instead, into the quiet of the house, into the places where his voice used to live. The first sip tasted bitter. The second went down easier. Outside, the wind brushed against the windows, and somewhere in the distance a car passed, tires hissing softly over ice. Hannah leaned back, cradling the glass against her chest. Broken thoughts dominated the conversations in her head. With most of the wine consumed, her eyes felt heavy. She told herself she would just rest them for a moment. The room slipped away. She was standing in the cold. Snow pressed under her feet, untouched and glowing faintly blue beneath a moon too bright to be real. The air smelled sharp, metallic. Ahead of her, she saw it. The truck. His truck wrapped around the tree, its front end crushed inward, glass scattered across the ice like frozen stars. Daniel?
Her voice sounded wrong, stretched thin, as if the night were swallowing it. He was sitting upright in the driver's seat. Relief surged through her so fast it hurt. She ran, slipping once, her boots skidding on the ice. "Daniel, thank God," she cried, reaching for the door. "I'm here. I'm here." He turned toward her. Hannah stopped, her breath caught in her throat as her body refused to move another inch. Where her husband's face should have been was something else entirely. A dog's face. Elongated and wet, fur matted dark around the mouth. Its jaw hung open slightly, teeth too large, too many, and its eyes glowing red. They locked onto her, unblinking, knowing. The thing in the truck smiled, not with kindness, not with recognition, with hunger. Hannah tried to scream, but no sound came. The snow around her feet began to crack, spreading outward in thin black lines. She could hear her heart pounding, could feel it trying to tear free from her chest. The thing tilted its head, studying her the way an animal studies prey. Then, it opened the door. Hannah jolted awake, the wine glass tipping dangerously in her hand as her heart slammed against her ribs. The house was dark and silent, the nightmare still clinging to her like cold breath on her neck. For a moment, she didn't know why. The house was dark, quiet in the way only late winter nights could be. Then she smelled it. Cold air, damp wood, something faintly metallic. Familiar. The same smell that clung to the night she'd stood beside the road, while snow fell around twisted metal and flashing lights. She sat up slowly. Moonlight spilled through the living room window, pale and thin, cutting across the floor and the edge of the couch. The moon wasn't full yet. Almost. Close enough to make her uneasy. Close enough to feel like it was watching. Hannah jumped, her heart slamming hard enough to make her dizzy. She swung her legs off the couch and stood, every muscle tight. The house felt suddenly too big, too open. She swayed toward the door, the floor cold beneath her bare feet. "Just a minute," she called, her voice hoarse. She opened the door. Tyler stood on the porch, hands shoved into the pockets of his jacket, shoulders hunched against the cold. His hair was a little longer than she remembered, curling at the ends. His face softened when he saw her.
"Hello," he said quietly. For a second, neither of them moved. "What are you doing here?" she asked, though she already knew the answer. "I heard," he said, "about Daniel. I thought maybe, I don't know. I shouldn't have come this late. She should have told him to leave." She felt it immediately, that old ache, that familiar tightening in her chest. They had ended things kindly years ago. No yelling. No betrayal. Just two people who wanted different things. That almost made it worse. "You can come in," she said, stepping aside. The house seemed to hold its breath as he entered. He glanced around, taking in the quiet, the half-empty wine glass on the table, the newspaper folded just enough to hide the headline. "You want some tea?" Hannah asked, already moving toward the kitchen. Tyler laughed softly. "I was thinking more like a beer." She stopped, turned to him. "No." He raised his hands in surrender. "Okay. Bad joke." They stood there, the distance between them heavy with things unsaid. After a moment, Hannah crossed her arms. "You shouldn't stay," she said. "It's late." "I know." He hesitated. "I just didn't want you to be alone tonight." "I am alone," she said, sharper than she meant to. "And I need to be." Tyler nodded, disappointment flickering across his face. He reached into his jacket pocket, then paused. From behind his back,
He produced a small bundle wrapped in brown paper. "I brought these for you," he said. "My mom used to say they helped with grief." Hannah stared at them. White flowers, delicate, unfamiliar. She didn't recognize them, but something about them made her skin prickle. "I don't want them," she said, though she didn't move away. "They're yours," he replied gently, pressing them into her hands. His fingers brushed hers, warm, lingering just a second too long. She stepped back. "Go home, Tyler." He did this time, paused in the door, glanced back once, then left without another word. Hannah locked the door behind him and leaned against it, the flowers still clutched in her hand. The moonlight crept farther across the floor. Later, the shower steamed the bathroom until the mirror fogged over. Hannah stood beneath the hot water, eyes closed, letting it run over her shoulders, down her back, washing the night away as best it could. When she finally climbed into bed, the house was silent again.
Outside, the moon climbed higher. Hannah's bedroom was quiet, the house heavy with sleep. Her breathing had slowed, deep and uneven, the rise and fall of her chest softened by exhaustion and grief. The flowers Tyler had left rested on the nightstand, pale petals catching the faint glow of the almost full moon spilling through the window. Outside, something lingered. It pressed itself against the shadowed edge of the glass, almost merging with the darkness, eyes glinting faintly red in the moonlight. It watched every rise and fall of her chest. It did not blink. It did not breathe like a human, not entirely. It could smell her, the heat of her skin, the scent of her hair, the faint traces of the wine she had poured hours ago, the taste of salt from tears she hadn't yet shed. Its thoughts were not its own, not fully. There was hunger there, but also a strange curiosity, a memory that flickered like a candle in a draft. "She is soft. She is warm. She is mine. Though she does not know it yet." A low, unnatural hiss slipped between its teeth, a sound that was almost breathing, but not, curling into the quiet like smoke. It tilted its head, watching, calculating, learning the rhythm of her sleep. Every shift of her hand, every twitch of her fingers, every sigh that escaped her lips was noted. The moonlight stretched across her body, painting pale highlights over her hair, over her shoulders. It studied her like an artist studies a canvas, or a predator studies its prey. Hannah stirred in her sleep, a soft murmur escaping her lips. The moonlight shifted across her face, brushing her cheek with silver. Something made her shift, a prickle along the back of her neck that felt both familiar and wrong. Her eyes flicked open. For a heartbeat, she lay still, staring into the darkness beyond her window. At first, she thought it was a trick of the moonlight, the branches casting long skeletal shadows. But then she caught it, a faint glimmer of red, so subtle it could have been a reflection. She froze, every muscle taut, her heart hammering behind her ribs. A shadow clung to the edge of the glass, impossibly still. There was a sound, too. Something almost a breath, wet and uneven, like lungs that didn't belong to a human. Her body tensed instinctively, but the rational part of her mind whispered it was nothing. Just the wind. Just her imagination. Hannah blinked, tried to focus, and the shadow was gone. Only the branches scraped faintly against the window, scratching a rhythm against the cold glass. She let out a shaky sigh, tucked her knees closer to her chest, and closed her eyes. The warmth of the covers, the monotone tick of the clock, the familiar scent of her bedroom reassured her. Slowly,
Reluctantly, sleep claimed her again. Then, without moving closer, without a sound, it receded into the shadows, leaving only the quiet night behind. But its presence lingered in the air.
Somewhere in the night, people were living normal lives. The truck rattled down the narrow county road, headlights carving tunnels through the bare trees. The snow along the shoulders was thin and dirty, more memory than winter. Patches of frozen earth showing through where it should have been white. It had been warm for weeks. Too warm. Someone cracked open another beer in the cab, laughter spilling out with the cold air as the truck slowed near the bluffs outside of Empire. The lake below was a black sheet, motionless and watching. "This is perfect," one of the guys said. "Nobody comes out here anymore." They hauled wood from the bed of the truck, boots crunching on icy leaves. The fire caught quickly, flame snapping and rising, throwing wild shadows across the trees. Music played low from the truck radio. Bottles clinked. The girls leaned into their boyfriends, faces flushed from drink and heat, breath fogging the air. At first, the sound in the woods was easy to ignore. A branch snapping. A rustle too heavy for wind. One of them paused mid-laugh. "Did you hear that? Probably a deer." But the sound came again. Closer this time. Slow. Deliberate. Something pacing just beyond the firelight, where the trees thickened and the dark pressed in. The woods went quiet. No wind. Even the fire seemed to hesitate, flames guttering low. Then came the breathing. Deep. Wet. Not rushed, like something that knew it didn't have to hurry. The flashlight beam shook as it swept the tree line, catching nothing but trunks and drifting smoke. Until it landed on eyes. Too high off the ground. Too far apart. Reflecting gold. It stepped forward. Its mouth opened, and the sound that came out wasn't a growl. It was a scream. Panic exploded. Someone tripped. Someone else dropped a bottle that shattered on the rocks. One of the girls ran toward the truck, keys shaking in her hand, crying his name over and over. The creature moved faster than thought. The fire was kicked apart, embers scattered. The woods filled with shouting, then screaming, then sounds that ended too abruptly. The truck door hung open, headlights still on, engine dead. By morning, the fire pit was nothing but ash and blackened wood. Beer cans lay crushed in the dirt. The snow around the bluffs was churned and darkened, marked with deep impressions that did not resemble any animal tracks known to the area. Searchers found what was left scattered among the trees and along the ridge. Blood frozen into the ground. Torn clothing snagged on branches. Pieces of a night that had ended violently and without mercy. No bodies were recovered intact. Officials would later say it was an animal attack. Exposure. An accident fueled by alcohol and bad judgment. The locals whispered about the sounds heard from the bluffs that night. Howling that didn't fade with distance, and a scream that carried too long to be human. And for the rest of that winter, no one went out there after dark. Morning came without mercy. The sun burned against Hannah's face, sharp and invasive, cutting straight through the thin curtains. She groaned and rolled onto her side, pulling the blanket up, but it didn't help. The light found her anyway. Her head throbbed in dull, uneven pulses, each one reminding her of the wine she never drank and the sleep she didn't get. Her mouth felt dry. Bitter. Hannah sat up slowly, waiting for the room to stop tilting. It didn't. Not right away. There was a heaviness behind her eyes, a pressure that made her squint. When she finally dragged herself into the bathroom and leaned over the sink, she barely recognized the woman staring back at her. Dark bags hung beneath her eyes. Her skin looked sallow, tight. Her hair was an oily, tangled mess, clinging to her scalp like it hadn't decided whether it wanted to be alive or dead. She ran the faucet and splashed cold water on her face, hissing softly at the sting. "I don't feel like myself," she muttered to no one. Hannah sat at the small kitchen table before the morning light fully arrived. Just a thin gray seeped through the curtains, the kind that made everything feel unfinished. The chair across from her was empty. It always was now. Her whole life felt like it had been taken apart piece by piece, long before she was ready. "I don't know if I want to do this anymore." The phone rang from the other room. Hannah hesitated. She stared at the phone before answering. "Hey," she said.
Thanks for listening to this chapter of Wolves. If you enjoy what we do at TraverseCity.fm and TraverseCityToday.com, consider supporting us on Patreon. Your support helps us continue doing what we love, creating and delivering great content for you and our community. Every contribution helps keep the stories, updates, and local coverage coming. Stay tuned for what's next.
Let me see you take a breath and dance the night away. And in the darkness, tell me how you're scared of the light of day. The darkness knows you, knows you, knows you. The light doesn't know you, know you. 'Cause you're just a little dancer. The shadow takes your hand and leads you home. 'Cause you're just a little dancer. The shadow takes your hand and leads you home. Let me see you twirl around, your hair falling down. Tell me how you feel under all of that. The darkness knows you, knows you, knows you. The light doesn't know you, know you. 'Cause you're just a little dancer. The shadow takes your hand and leads you home. 'Cause you're just a little dancer. The shadow takes your hand and leads you home. Wherever you go, you don't wanna know how you feel, how you feel. 'Cause you're just a little dancer. The shadow takes your hand and leads you home. Wherever you go, you don't wanna know how you feel, how you feel. You don't wanna know.